Salutations, my friends. Salutations. Wow. We have a information-packed episode for you lined up. Whole lot of stuff breaking in the news. Whole lot of stuff going on. That's for sure. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. Wow. Can you believe it? We're coming up on the end of Season 6. On top of that, we got all kinds of different things in the mix. And I can't even believe, you know, we're coming up on halfway through 2018. I have so much that I want to do still, and it's crazy. It is crazy. Oh, wow. Literally feels like I have to fight time. Anywho, so we got a lot of stuff going on in the news. Clearly, we're going to talk about, you know, things like Hillary Clinton, Harvey Weinstein, the Hurricane Maria death toll in Puerto Rico, Tommy Robinson's imprisonment, Roseanne's cancellation, and all the other celebrity nonsense, because we really had to address that. I feel like for some strange reason, you know, you talk about Drake doing blackface and people are about it, you know, but you talk about Google and the Pentagon teaming up, they don't want to hear it. You talk about the evidence of the opioid epidemic, they don't want to hear it. You talk about CBS literally having broadcasts where they talk about just that, where they literally do a report on the dangers of 5G, and we don't and no one cares, you see. And that's what I'm talking about. That is what I mean by it literally being a honor to be here. But I'm going to play this clip for you guys, and then we're going to jump into the episode. So this is CBS News reporting on how they're going to need 300,000 more wireless antennas in the United States for 5G.
5G service is coming soon, and the network is expected to be up to 100 times faster than current data speeds. But to make it happen, wireless companies say they will have to install around 300,000 new antennas. That is roughly the same number of cell towers built over the past three decades. That's because despite being much faster, 5G uses high-frequency waves that don't travel as far as current wireless frequencies. So that means a lot more towers to make it possible. That has many people concerned about the health impact of the towers and the impact on their property values. Angela Lang for CBSNewYork.com. 5G services
and,
coming.
And we'll get into more of that stuff later on, but I wanted to lead into the show talking about that. 5G. This is very, very big. A lot of people really seem to underestimate it. I really think people should go back and listen to that episode between me and KB, KB Visions, of the Event Chronicle. Oh, wait, no. Of just the show, The Chronicle. There's a news outlet called The Event Chronicle. Both great places. But my point is this. Recently, information has come out about how a Harvard study has confirmed that dementia is being caused by big pharma drugs and vaccines. This is put up May 28th, 2018, by your newswire. It says that the rise in dementia is caused by overprescribed big pharma drugs and vaccinations, according to a new Harvard University study. According to the Alzheimer's Association, dementia is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States and is projected to affect 16 million people by the year 2050. NaturalNews.com reports it's no coincidence that dementia cases have been spiking during the time that children and adults are being over-vaccinated. Flu shot anyone, and that the overprescription of brain-altering drugs like an antidepressant is prevalent. A help guide based on a Harvard University report admits as much. According to the report, quote, medications are common culprits in mental decline. As the body ages, the liver affects the liver's efficiency when it comes to metabolizing drugs decline, and the kidneys do not eliminate them as quickly as they once did. This causes the drugs to accumulate in the body, which means those who take multiple medications are particularly susceptible to this effect. Now, I'm going to pause right there. How many times have you guys heard me talk about what? The bioaccumulation, how that's going to affect your biochemistry. What happens when you start taking all these drugs? right? Purdue Pharma, another person from Big Pharma, or well, not another person, another organization, and involved in the Big Pharma, which is Big Pharma, they knew that OxyContin would be addictive, yet they still put it out there. We have Bayer buying Monsanto, another big pharma company, literally buying an agricultural company, and then combining. There is so much crazy stuff going on as far as pharmaceuticals, how they have people tied to a system, and everything else that's going on with that. But like I said before, how many times have I talked about just that? The fact that whenever we take food, pills, all these drugs, alcohol, everything else that they give us, this stuff bioaccumulates in us. It's our diet. It's scientific eugenics. But let's get back into this article. It says included in the list of drugs published in the guide that cause dementia-like symptoms are antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, sedatives, corticosteroids, narcotics, antihistamines, cardiovascular drugs, and anticonvulsants. It's a very broad range of drugs, and many elderly people taking medications from one or more of those categories. In fact, you might want to go check your medication cabinet right now. I don't have medication. I take supplements and vitamins. You see, that's the only thing we really should be ingesting. But what I wanted to point at is how they, you know, this is evidence of the opioid epidemic. This is how they create drug zombies, addicted fiends, domestication, so to speak, population control. You want to hear something that's even crazier? You know, this isn't, unfortunately, you know, this isn't something that's necessarily new to people, because a lot of people were already aware of these types of things. This is why people stay away from pharmaceutical drugs. But one thing that I think is funny while we're here talking about drugs is how security troops at the Wyoming nuclear base used and distributed LSD. This is put up May 25th by Truth in Media. It's by Whitney Webb. It says several Air Force members charged with guarding some of the most powerful nuclear weapons in the United States arsenal have been busted as part of a drug ring that bought, sold, and distributed and regularly used LSD and other mind-altering drugs. The airmen serving at FE Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming as part of the 90th Missile Wing were caught by investigators following a slip-up by one of the servicemen on social media. Those involved were first caught in March 2016, but the details of their case have now only recently been made public after records describing the incidents were maintained or were obtained by the Associated Press. Most of the servicemen were entangled in the case were responsible for the security and defense of nuclear weapons on site as well as the base's missile complex. In total, 14 airmen were disciplined, six of whom were convicted in court martials for LSD use and distribution. Furthermore, the court documents detailing the incidents made no mention of whether the LSD's secondary effects, such as flashbacks or serious long-lasting problems they can develop after a negative hallucinogenic experience, had effect on the soldiers' behavior while on the job. Some of the soldiers admitted that under the influence of hallucinogenics, they would not have even been able to respond if called to duty to respond to a nuclear security emergency. While none of the airmen admitted to using LSD or other drugs while on duty and were reportedly not accused of on-duty drug use, the AP's report noted that, quote, Air Force investigators found those implicated in the FE Warren drug ring used LSD on base and off at least twice at outdoor gatherings. Some also snorted cocaine and used ecstasy. Civilians joined them in the LSD use, including some who had recently left Air Force service, according to two officials with knowledge of the investigation. So there you go. Protect and serve, right? These are the people that we are entrusting our lives to. And so why am I trying to read that right after talking about a Harvard study on dementia? I'm trying to show a example of where we're at. You know, this is what's happening. If they introduce the drugs into the culture, and you know, we've talked about it before, how they'll use MDMA to cure, I think it's depression, and they also use mushrooms as well. LSD is, and all of these types of things, you know, for PTSD and what have you. But the point I'm trying to illustrate is how once we open up the door to drug use it doesn't stop. And I know OxyContin, pharmaceutical drugs and things like that, as well as designer drugs, these are all different things. But it plays into the addictive nature of man. You see, we don't really have a whole lot of discernment. You see, and there's a lot of things that could go wrong with doing that. Later on, you know, we're going to be getting into a story about how, you know, muscles off of Seattle were found with oxycodone in their system. And I think that's crazy because we're literally talking about we're talking about stuff being so polluted that it literally affects sea life. Like, it either we're dumping too much or whatever, but this is where we're at. This is where things are going. And that's why, again, we have to look at and hold accountable Big Pharma, Purdue Pharma, AstraZeneca, all these other places, Bill Gates. Oh, don't even get me started. But, you know, while we have soldiers actually doing drugs on base and off base, we have Google and the Pentagon preparing for their merger, their Project Maven. That's so Maven. The Pentagon is planning to promote unrest in the AI world. This is put up May 30th. It's by Micah Hanks, great author by Mysterious Universe. There is an unrest afoot in the AI research community in recent weeks. Some of this calls into question whether artificial intelligence is being developed over the years to come while we have an effect on legal rights to things such as freedom of speech, while others have to do with concerns of what government institutions might do with them. Following the debut of new technology by companies like Google and Amazon that feature voice bot calling that can schedule appointments over the phone while sounding eerily human, California Senator Robert M. Hertzberg, put forth a motion to place restrictions on such activities, requiring bots to identify themselves and such. According to the proposed bill, quote, "This bill would make it unlawful for any person to use a bot as defined to communicate or interact with natural persons in California online with the intentions of misleading and would provide that person using a bot is presumed not to act with the intent to mislead if the person discloses that the bot is not a natural person. The bill would require an online platform to enable users to report violations of this prohibition and would require the online platform to respond to the reports and, upon request, provide the Attorney General with specific or specified related information. The bill would among some of the futurist circles who responded by saying that such legislation could represent the infringement of free speech. According to the EFF, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, described by Futurism.com, quote, as a nonprofit designed to protect civil liberties in the digital age, it's not the bots whose rights might be at stake. We're fighting for bots' rights. The point I'm trying to make is, switching up to this, is not really to point out the fact that, you know, you have to register bots, you have to register all these different types of things. It's to point out that while we're over here getting dosed up by drugs and caught up in all kinds of nonsense, we literally have a technotronic matrix, or it's literally Skynet, the Terminator-style situation, being created in front of us, being erected around us. We don't really think, people think that if we see, you know, robots, by then, my friends, I'm telling you, it's too late. Truly, it is too late. What we're already in is the phase of preliminary soft or preliminary warfare. Even if you would call it that, with this AI threat, this technological threat, whatever it may be. But what I'm trying to tell you is that there are silent weapons for quiet wars. There are multidimensional assaults happening to us that we don't necessarily see. This is why you see so many people panicking about 5G. They understand what it's going to do. Now I'm going to play for you a clip where it's a military intelligence scientist and a specialist on Wi-Fi radiation, where he talks about how we are risking the future generations of all children simply because of how we're bathing in Wi-Fi.
Girls are born with all of the eggs they need in their ovaries at birth. They're immature eggs, basically 200 in each. Now, if you're sitting with a transmitter in your lap, and that transmitter is transmitting through your ovaries, and the microwaves are genotoxic, there is a possibility that the microwaves can affect the genetic structure within the eggs. Now, the problem here is that the mitochondrial DNA, the genes inside the ovaries, is irreparable. So if you have a little girl who damages, through this mechanism, the genetic structure in one of her eggs, and she has a daughter, that daughter will carry that genetic problem. It is irreparable. And her daughter will carry that genetic problem because it's irreparable. And every female forever along that line will carry that genetic problem. It is irreparable.
And that's just microwaves, okay? That's just one way of literally looking at this. We're talking about DNA obliteration, microwave radiation affecting children differently. This is the slow, soft kill option. You see, this is why we need to pay attention to it. Not only are we talking about the electrical haze that, you know, affects kids, the LED poisoning, whenever they stare at screens all the time, we're talking about them literally being affected by this. How the mitochondrial DNA becomes irreplaceable. How microwaves affect eggs. And what do you think that phone is? I saw an article the other week about a child as early as 5 having access to a smartphone. Now, I know this is, some people are thinking, oh, well, this is the future. This is what has to happen. No, this isn't what has to happen. Even today, as I'm recording this, there are articles of how so many people are literally pulling their kids out of school. They don't want them in public school. Have you figured out why? I'll tell you, it's not because of the gun violence. It's not because of that nonsense. It's because they can see what's being force-fed to them through the gender studies, the Common Core, and all this other stuff, what's being indoctrination, what's becoming it, they're taking their kids out, trying to teach them themselves. But I digress. Let's get back into what's going on today, why this is important, why we have to look at things like radiation affecting us, where we're just sitting in it, just bathing in the radiation, bathing in all this other nonsense. But before we do, let's take a look at this article. While everybody else is paying attention to Drake and Meek Mill and Roseanne and all these other people, the U.S. House overwhelmingly passed a $717 billion spending bill to rebuild our military. It seems like every other few months or so, I'm reading how there is a military-industrial complex injection of money. Just the other week, we talked about how the Pentagon lost like $21 trillion. Like, where is this money coming from? Like, I know, you know, I'm not a numbers guy, but all of this seems a little bit excessive. This was put up May 25th by Jason Ditz of Activist Post. It says, in a 351-66 vote, the House of Representatives have passed their version of the 2019 military spending bill, the National Defense Authorization Act. The NDAA intends to spend $717 billion in the next fiscal year on the military wars and nuclear arms. This is another substantial increase in military spending, broadly supported within both parties. Only 7 Republicans voted against the bill, while Democrats were a bit more split on the matter. Either way, amendments intended to limit nuclear weapons spending or the like were roundly defeated. One amendment that did not manage to make its way into the NDAA was from Representative Ro Khanna, a Democrat from California, and Barbara Lee, another Democrat from California, which demands that the Department of Defense investigates if its U.S. allies in Yemen were torturing detainees. The UN had already confirmed that the United Arab Emirates forces were responsible for acts of torture in Yemen, and the investigation is intended to find out if the U.S. troops in the country have, in violation of the U.S. law, been participating in Emirate torture sessions. The NDAA passed today, that was May 25th, and still has to be reconciled with the Senate version, which was passed by the committee in a closed session. One of the two are reconciled, and there will be final votes, though there appears so far to be little momentum to resist the ever-growing expense. They're literally passing $717 billion, and people can't tell. They're caught up in what Roseanne and everybody else is doing. They can't see what's happening in front of them. They are literally trying to take us to war. They're developing drone programs. You have the Pentagon. Like I said just the other day, let's see if I can find this. It was just the other day the Pentagon was requesting money right here for more war robots. Yeah, May 22nd, Pentagon spends $1 billion to acquire more robots. And I feel like just the other, there's more. There's still more, though. This is what's happening. They're trying to take us to war. They have all kinds of other stuff happening on the geopolitical scale, but they want us to be distracted and focused. And all the stuff that turns us into these zombies, that slowly just disorients us and disassociates us from reality to where we can't see what's going on. This is what I mean by the slow colloption. They're trying to take us to the chop house. And they don't want us to fight back. They don't want us to point it out. But my friends, this is why I'm here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about 5G, cancerous cell phone towers. Apparently, they're coming up with half-human and half-chicken hybrids. What is up with that? They just want to keep merging us with other stuff. And as I said before, we're going to get into this Bayer buying Monsanto situation, so stay tuned. We're going to get into all of that and more on the other side. I'll talk to you soon. Who, me? Couldn't be. Then who? Guess it's just me, you, and the whole crew. Thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I have a clip for you. Sit back and listen.
AT&T is the nation's fastest 3G network, so you can download faster on your smartphone than Verizon.
With 4G from Sprint, I can download files up to 10 times faster than 3G.
Upload 10 photos in a minute. Verizon 4G LTE.
Get ready for more ads like those. The wireless industry is in a race to roll out 5G service. Now, 5G is supposed to be up to 100 times faster than current data speeds. Could have used it on Amtrak yesterday. But it requires cell phone tower equipment to be closer to users than ever before. And that is causing outrage and alarm in some neighborhoods as antennas go up around the homes. Tony DiCoppola is here with both sides of the conversation. Tony, lots of chatter about this. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. There's outrage, but there's also excitement. I mean, 100 times faster. But get this, wireless companies in the U.S. say they'll have to install about 300,000 new antennas for the rollout of 5G. That is roughly equal to the total number of cell phone towers built over the past three decades. The faster network could create new potential for work and play, but it's also leading to new concerns.
Go.
At a lab in New York, Verizon invited us to meet some of the entrepreneurs developing tools to run on the next generation of wireless technology.
How important is 5G to your mission?
5G is extremely important.
Jonathan Reeves demonstrated his product, Arvizio.
As you move around, the object stays fixed in space.
Look at that. That's amazing.
Allowing users in different locations to interact with 3D images projected through a lens.
Today we can do this using Wi-Fi technology, and we can do it using landline technology. But of course, you're then tied to particular locations. With 5G, now we can begin to extend this, so we can actually begin to start doing this on building sites. We can start doing it on the factory floor. So it really opens up a whole new world.
But before this world can become reality, this one needs to change. 5G requires the installation of new equipment across the U.S.
So this pole here is 5G. This is the future right here.
You got it.
Every wireless company is working to build its own 5G network. Melissa Arnoldi leads AT&T's efforts.
If you don't already have one of these in your neighborhood, they're coming.
That's absolutely right. They're coming.
She says 5G uses high-frequency waves that support faster speeds, but don't travel as far as current wireless frequencies. So instead of relying on large cell phone towers spread far apart, they need small cell sites that are much closer together.
We're going to use our existing infrastructure today, whether it's light poles, whether it's street lights. We're going to make sure that we don't make it obtrusive to our customers and to the citizens.
Yet some don't share the enthusiasm.
The cell towers are called small cell towers, but they're not so small when they're in your front yard.
Donna Barron is protesting plans to convert light poles in her Montgomery County, Maryland neighborhood into small cell sites.
This will cause cancer.
She was one of several people who raised health concerns at a government hearing last month.
This stuff is untested on kids. Their safety is not certain.
These untested technologies are, at this time, not ready to be unleashed into our lives.
Cell phone equipment emits radiation, but research on its health effects has been inconsistent. According to the National Cancer Institute, a limited number of studies have shown some evidence of statistical association of cell phone use and brain tumor risks. But most studies have found no association.
If you lose this fight and a pole goes in right here, are you going to move?
Possibly.
Either way, Barron says she fears property values could plummet when 5G equipment pops up.
If a tower goes up right there, what's going to happen to the value of that home?
It could drop 20%.
And not only for this house.
Right, for that house, that house, that house. And then pretty soon you go around the curve and there's another cell tower. They're all through this neighborhood. So it's going to devastate the neighborhood.
Arnoldi insists her workers are focused on safety, pointing out they live and work near this equipment too.
Do you have any 5G antennae in your neighborhood yet?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for it. It's coming soon, though. It's coming soon.
So I'm guessing from that reaction, then you're very comfortable with it rolling out in your neck of the woods.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wireless carriers have announced plans to roll out 5G service to a handful of cities later this year, but don't get too excited. To really take advantage, you'll need a 5G-enabled device, which probably won't be available until next year.
So our current phones aren't 5G ready?
They're not 5G ready. The pole outside your house might be 5G ready, but your phone is not.
Yeah, it's going to have to upgrade. Tony, thanks.
Gonna have to upgrade. Tony, thanks. Wow. So a whole lot of different things going on with just that clip alone. And I wanted to lead in again because what this is, what we're talking about, as I said before, with Project Maven, the military intelligence specialist that we, Brett Trower, that we had on, or that we recently played for you guys. What we're talking about is, again, more of the silent wars, or the silent weapons for quiet wars. We're seeing what's going on, how it's a multi-purpose tool. This is why you hear us going on and on and on about things such as Gwen towers, cell phone towers, ELF towers, you name it. It's surprising to have a mainstream media outlet literally talking about some of the negative effects of 5G, how this is going to cause cancer, how this is going to affect people. This is why, again, I wanted to point out what's going on beforehand. What does this mean when we literally have, and I'll play for you guys this quick clip. Again, 300,000 more wireless antennas in the United States.
5G services coming soon, and the network is expected to be up to 100 times faster than current data speeds. But to make it happen, wireless companies say they will have to install around 300,000 new antennas. That is roughly the same number of cell towers built over the past three decades. That's because despite being much faster, 5G uses high-frequency waves that don't travel as far as current wireless frequencies. So that means a lot more towers to make it possible. That has many people concerned about the health impact of the towers and the impact on their property values. Angela Lang for CBSNewYork.com.
Definitely something to worry about. Like she said, using high-frequency waves. And how they need to put more towers in between your house and the small cell sites and the areas there so that they can basically piggyback up off of the existing infrastructure to increase the signal. But for everybody else that's not really paying attention, they'll just be excited because, well, they have faster internet. They can scroll and like pictures a lot easier and faster than normal. They can upload pictures. Isn't that great? But they're not really seeing the deeper implications of what's going on, how this is going to affect not only your upload speed, but also your health effects. This is why we're talking about things such as microwave radiation, what that does to your body, what that does to your mind, and what that's eventually going to basically do to society. But because we're not asking the deeper questions, as they said before, and I say this in inverted commas, inconsistent health concerns. They couldn't have a proper response to, well, what are some of the problems with this? They said, oh, well, there's inconsistent health concerns. That's a problem because they're basically glossing over it. We talked about just the other week how electromagnetic radiation from cell phones pose a credible threat to wildlife. But this week, they say they can't find any clues or any evidence of how this is going to negatively affect humans. Oh, so I guess we're just supposed to be stupid. Anywho, it blows my mind. They must literally think we're idiots. I understand that, you know, sometimes we kind of have a very short attention span, no doubt. But I don't understand, you know, this lady, this older lady who actually stood up and tried to fight the installation of the cell phone towers. Why is there nobody else out there? What happens whenever, you know, you start seeing these fake cactuses, these light poles, everything else that they're trying to disguise as Gwen towers and cell phone towers? What happens when we start seeing these types of things go up? There's going to be sicknesses. There's going to be increases in cancers and tumors and weird other abnormal things that we haven't figured out yet. You know, you got to think about it. As I led in the show talking about a Harvard study on how dementia is being caused by drugs and vaccines. We don't know what else is being done to us. And the increase of the frequencies of the things that are penetrating us. I mean, this is why people get literally clearer sleep whenever they turn off their Wi-Fi router at night and they turn off their cell phone because it's interfering with things. Again, the biochemistry. But I digress. Because while I'm trying to point this stuff out, you have experts who are saying that humans are on the verge of becoming cyborgs.
However, those computers can't input information into my nervous system. When I touch and move my synthetic limbs, I do not experience normal touch and movement sensations. If I were a cyborg and could feel my legs via small computers inputting information into my nervous system, it would fundamentally change, I believe, my relationship to my synthetic body. Today, I can't feel my legs. And because of that, my legs are separate tools from my mind and my body. They're not part of me. I believe that if I were a cyborg, I could feel my legs, they would become part of me, part of self. At MIT, we're thinking about neural and body design. In this design process, the designer designs human flesh and bone, the biological body itself, along with synthetics, to enhance the bidirectional. However, those computers can't input information Crazy. Into my nervous system.
And for people who are curious, we are listening to Hugh Herr. He is the co-director of the Center for Extreme Bionics at the MIT Media Lab. He was talking about how he's pioneering a new class of biohybrid smart prosthetics to improve the lives of humans. And why is this important? Because basically what we're talking about is the augmentation of reality, the augmentation of humanity. Why does it pertain to cell phone towers? As he said before, with being cyborgs, things hooking up to your body, sending signals. What happens whenever that signal gets hijacked? Okay, the future, this technocratic future that you see them creating, it's not necessarily meant for humans. So the idea is to create a transhuman, to create something for this world that they're creating, a silicon-based life form, a new human, a newman. Crazy. A transhuman. And it sounds wild right now because you were born, you have a life. But how many times have we talked about cloning? How many times have we talked about synthetic biology, biowarfare, things of this nature, whatever has to do with health and the ultimate end goal of it? These days, this is why they're pushing. We've talked about biohackers, grinders, people who are literally augmenting themselves, genetically modifying themselves. There are programs beyond it. My point is this, it's to literally litter the human DNA structure, the human genome, with so much that we become polluted, that we become irreparable. As Brett Trauer, that military intelligence specialist, talked about, the dangers of Wi-Fi radiation, that's only one aspect. This is why you see us paying attention to these things in so many different ways. That's why it is so key for you to take care of yourself, for you to take care of your health, for you to not be a slave to this system. But let's move on. You see, one of the things, speaking of slaves, and this has a point, one of the things I think is strange, you know, is it seems like every other week or so, we're talking about how they're coming up with different hybrids. This is, again, part of the transhuman movement. Now, it might not necessarily be part of prosthetics and augmentation and things of this nature, but this is, again, the blurring of our DNA, of our genetics, turning us into goyim, bringing a whole new different definition to sheeple. We've talked about that, how they're having human sheep hybrids, human cow hybrids. So many, and now we're having human chicken hybrids. There are so many different out there. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. But the point behind all of this is literally to make us depreciate life to where we don't appreciate what is going on, to where we think nothing matters, to where everything is just kind of passe, and there's no appreciation for what's really going on. People don't ask themselves, what can I bring to the table? And if they do, they have to really be honest and say, you know, I can cook very well. I can do this very well. I can do that very well. I can do a little bit of this. You know, people need to understand their value. And whenever we do these types of things, this literally creates the mindset for people to go out there to do these types of things to seem as if they are extraordinary when not realizing that they themselves are extraordinary. But as I said before, I digress. Let me get into this article. It's about how scientists are creating half-human, half-chicken embryos in a lab. This was put up May 25th. It's by Sign of the Times. It says, until now, scientists have been unable to answer how certain cells in a developing embryo decides to become muscle or limbs, while others become bones and nerves. But now, researchers led by Dr. Ali Brivinilov from the Rockefeller Institute in New York have achieved the unimaginable in a shock experiment. By grafting petri dish-grown human cells onto the embryo of a chicken, the scientists were for the first time ever able to observe how cells organize themselves. The study was published this week in Science Journal Nature, or in the journal Science Nature, in the Science Journal Nature, where the scientists unveiled their inner machinations of so-called organizer cells. Organizer cells are responsible for the formation of a cell's tops, bottom, and back, and essentially dictate how the human body takes its form. Dr. Brivinilov said, quote, no one knew what happens after the ball of cells attaches itself to the uterus. Quote, the startling experiment could now promise to circumvent the ethical issues by surrounding the use of human embryos in laboratory experiments. Countries like the U.S. ban the use of embryos more than 14 days old, which is about the time organizer cells begin to form. In the new study, the researchers bypassed the rule by growing embryo-like structures derived from human embryonic cells. It's a real advance. It's beautiful. This can be shown without the need for using embryos. The cells were then grafted onto 12-hour-old chicken embryos, which are roughly the equivalent of a 14-day human. Astonishingly, the researchers noted that the chicken embryo grew. Organizer cells dictated that the formation of a second chicken embryo nervous system, or a second chicken nervous system. Dr. Martin Blum, a developmental biologist at the University of Hohenheim in Germany, said the beautiful finding could put an end to the use of actual human embryos in laboratories. The expert said, it's a real advance. It's the beautiful that this can be shown without the use of needing an embryo. At the moment, I could not think of a case where an early human embryo would be needed to answer basic question. So every time we sit up over here and come to the impasse of why these people are creating these kind of hybrids, they always say it's, oh, well, we need to study embryos better. We need to study early human development better. But my question then becomes, why are you mixing it with so many different animals? With pigs, with sheep, with cows, now chicken, farm animals, animal farm. This is a story out of George Orwell's 1984, or actually not really. I think it may be. Yeah, let's look this up together. Let's look this up. What is it? Is it Animal Farm? And use DuckDuckGo for whenever you want to go look stuff up. Yep, it was by George Orwell. There you go. Yeah, Animal Farm is an allegorical novel by George Orwell, first published in England on the 17th of August in 1945. According to Orwell, the book reflects events leading up to the Russian Revolution of the 1917 and then onto the Stalinist era of the Soviet Union. Yeah, this is turning into Animal Farm, a literal animal farm where they are keeping us domesticated and turning us into animals. Sheeps. You see. It takes on a whole new meaning when you really begin to look at the deeper implications of it. And what's this? Why would they want to dehumanize us? Why would they want to turn us into to some kind of version of ourselves that doesn't appreciate life? Well.
Hello. My name is Nick, and I'm going to be the next school shooter of 2018. My goal is at least 20 people with an AR-15 and a couple tracer rounds. I think I can do a good done. Location is Stone Douglas in Parkland, Florida. It's going to be a big event. And when you see me on the news, you'll all know who I am. You're all going to die. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah. Can't wait. Alright, so here's the plan. I'm going to go take an Uber in the afternoon before 2:40. From there, I'll go into the onto school campus, walk up the stairs, unload my bags, and get my AR and shoot people down at the main courtyard. I'll wait and people will die. Today is the day that it all begins, the day of my massacre shall begin. All the kids in school will run in fear and hide. From the wrath of my power, they will know who I am. I am nothing, I am no one. My life is nothing and meaningless. Everything that I hold dear, I let go beyond your half. Every day I see the world ending another day. I live a lone life, live in seclusion and solitude. I hate everyone and everything. With the power of my AR, you will all know who I am. I had enough of being told what to do and when to do. I had enough of being telling me that I'm an idiot and a dumbass. But in real life, you're all the dumbass. You're all stupid and brainwashed by the political government programs. You will all see, you will all know who my name is. My love for you, Angie, will never go away. I hope to see you in the afterlife. From one day or another, you will end and we'll all die.
Okay, well, I'll be honest. That was kind of creepy. Definitely did not mean for that to be that creepy. When I was trying to set that up for you guys, definitely did not intend for it to be that weird. But what I'm trying to point out to you guys is this is what happens. This is what happens with the drugs. This is what happens with the neglect. This is what happens with so much, the antidepressants. This is what happens with the loneliness, the emotional issues, the depression, all of it. That kid was a recipe for disaster. And he could have been saved in so many different ways. But the point I'm trying to make is they want everyone to be like that. They want everyone to feel as though they have no purpose, as if there is no love. As if their life is meaningless. You see. But I will admit, while we're here talking about this, it seemed very coach what he was talking about prior to. The clip where he's talking about his plan from 2:18 to a very precise time, that was very, very precise. Again, I'm wondering where a child like that gets an AR. There's so many different questions that come along with it, but I'm trying to look at the psychology of Nicholas Cruz and how he's a perfect example of Big Pharma creating a mentally disturbed child. It came out, you know, the guy's on all kinds of psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, like I said, all kinds of emotional issues, and I still stand by that. People could have been reached out to. You know, he basically made his last stand statement to his girlfriend that broke up with him. And she probably already saw what we saw in a different way, even worse. So I can understand that. But can you imagine the kind of guilt that poor girl must be feeling? But the point is this. There are people out there who don't care for anything, who don't care for much of anyone. And they want that. They want you to die. And I know that sounds very, very messed up and very, very sad to say, but it's even worse that these things go unacknowledged, that this kind of emotional trauma can be sustained, or that people are walking around, you know, this empty every day, and we're unable to reach them. And to me, that's part of the saddest part of all, is that we are unable to help those who actually do need the help. So whenever you have David Hogg over here talking about, oh, we need more gun control, he's not looking at the kid. You know, not once did they reach out to him. Not once did you hear them say, oh, Nicholas Cruz, oh, you know, he was a troubled kid. They didn't say anything. They just let it happen. They went straight to gun control. But I digress. Let's move on for the sake of things. I'm not trying to turn this into that kind of show, but recently we hear how the U.S. Justice Department has approved the Bayer and Monsanto merger. Now, if you guys have been paying attention to this, as I have called them Monster. You know, Mon from Monsanto and from Bayer. Monster, Monster. But this was put up May 29th. It's by your newswire, Nima Harris. She says that the two multinationals that teamed up during the Vietnam War to poison millions of people, which with Agent Orange, are about to become one. The U.S. Department of Justice has agreed a settlement approving the merger of Monsanto and Bayer, which has been dubbed a marriage in hell. German big pharma giant Bayer AG has agreed to the U.S. government's demand that it sell $9 billion in agricultural assets as condition for acquiring Monsanto. The notorious U.S. seed and weed killer maker, the assets will be sold to BASF, a German chemical company. The $66 million deal, or $66 billion deal, already approved by the EU, and will create the world's biggest pesticides and seed monopoly. RT reports that the merger is initially proposed would have harmed consumers and farmers by eliminating competition, the DOJ said. However, the Trump administration is satisfied with the terms of the settlement announced Tuesday. America's farm system is of critical importance to our economy, to our food system, and to our way of life, said Makan Delarim, head of the DOJ's antitrust division. American farmers and consumers rely on head-to-head competition between Bayer and Monsanto. Last October, Bayer agreed to sell its Liberty herbicide brand, cotton and soybean seeds, and the other capabilities to BASF SE, another German chemical corporation. That deal was worth $5.9 billion. Another sale to BASF was announced in April, with Bayer divesting of herbicides, wheat hybrids research, and digital farming business that had combined sales amounting to $2.2 billion in 2017, according to Bloomberg. Interesting. EU regulators approved the merger in March. Once combined, Bayer and Monsanto will be the world's largest agrochemical corporation, surpassing Dow DuPont and China National, which acquired Syngenta last year. And I'm going to go ahead and stop right there because, you know, I think that's enough. Monsanto and Bayer literally combining together to bring you agrochemical products. They're going to be on your food. You think chemtrails are bad? You just wait. You just watch what happens. And this stuff is going to be everywhere. Round up the effects that it has on not only people, but on your livestock, on the ground. Again, more of the bioaccumulation that I'm talking about, how it affects the planet, the earth. And there's so much to look at. And we're just blindly walking right into it. We're not even noticing the dangers ahead. Let's listen to this quick clip where they're talking about the company that is taking over Monsanto, Bayer, how they knowingly gave thousands of children HIV.
Why is Bayer Corporation the rat of the week?
Internal documents show that after this company positively, absolutely knew that they had a medication that was infected with the AIDS virus, they took the product off the market in the U.S. and then they dumped it in France, Europe, Asia, and Latin America. The medicine's called Factor VIII. It was an injection medicine that was used for hemophiliacs, mostly children. Children had been born with an incurable disease.
Hold on, Mike. So you're telling me that Bayer knew that this drug was infected with the AIDS virus. They yanked it from the market in America, and then they dumped it in markets overseas?
They had to figure out a way, Joe, to make a profit on a product that they could not sell in America. So they made a huge profit. They dropped the product in Japan, Spain, and France. By the way, Joe, government officials in France that allowed that to happen actually had to go to prison for it. In America, not one corporate executive for this company has been indicted or even criminally investigated.
Why is Bayer Corporation the rat of the week?
That is, I bet. You know, I wish I could say I'm surprised, but not really. You know, that's how these people operate. They literally sell you. They say they were snake oil salesmen. It's because that's what they are. It's what they do. It's like literally what they do. The same thing with vaccines, how they literally like give you the disease, but they claim, oh, it's to help you. Yeah, sure. And this is why Big Pharma is running amok right here. A confidential report reveals that Purdue Pharma knew OxyContin was being abused within the first few years of it being released. They knew it was addictive. Purdue Pharma knew it was addictive. But yet it's still out there. And I'll tell you what's even worse, what's even crazier, knowing now that this type of stuff is out there, allegedly, there are muscles off Seattle that have oxycodone in their system. So while you have Purdue Pharma knowing that OxyContin is addictive, they push it out anyway. And then you literally have, you know, mussels, seafood, with OxyContin or oxycodone in their system. So regardless, you're going to get those drugs. Regardless, it's going to end up in your system. Regardless, you're going to be affected by these types of things. And that's why it's important to point these types of things out. And I want to read one more thing before we go to break, because while we're being affected by these types of things, it's also important that we note the achievements, note the advancement, note what happens whenever we are affected by something, and we take ownership of the issue, but we also try to come through with the solution. And what I mean by that is families of the MK Ultra victims have filed a lawsuit over government mind control experiments. Now, this is something that, you know, we've kind of touched on. We've seen it happen. We've seen it kind of pop up in the news ever so often. And we haven't really gotten into it because, you know, you have things like Stranger Things come up. You have all kinds of different discussions come up. But this is good that we have people who are suing the government for basically reparations from being abused by them, because this is a declared experiment. This is so monumental. This means that this is actually happening. This is a very real thing, that people are actually victims to this kind of system, and that these people do these types of things, and that retribution can be sought out. So this is fantastic. We're going to read, we're going to get into this, and then when we do, we're going to take a quick break and then contrast it on the flip side with what people think of as a real celebrity. Now, these types of people, these are the real heroes. These are people who came after to help whoever comes after them. I put this up May 28th. It's by John Vibes of the Free Thought Project, but it's been reposted by Sons of Liberty Media. It says, families of the people who had their lives ruined by the controversial MKUltra mind control programs have filed a lawsuit seeking compensation and an apology from the government. It says most of the government's mind control programs that exist are kept secret, but over the years, there's one that managed to draw the attention of the public. That program was a government project called MKUltra, a CIA operation that involved extreme methods of mind control that were tested on U.S. and Canadian citizens. The projects began in the 1940s and ran until the 1970s, when the details of the experience were exposed because victims began speaking out about the conditions that they were subjected to. I'm going to pause right there. Or actually, I'm not going to pause right there, because, boom, I was just about to get into this. There were 150 sub-projects within the MK Ultra program. One of them that we talked about was Project MK MK Often. This is something that I recently discovered. Apparently, the government has hired psychics, occultists, Satanists, Luciferians, witches, warlocks, priests, Pabalos, Poleros, people of all kinds of different faith religions, and literally asked them to conduct their types of seances, their rituals, their occult workings, and everything else, their spells, and they documented them. They even had them come into contact with entities. This is definitely something that I've kept an eye on, because they're right. This was a part of the 150 sub-projects within the MKU program. Many involved advanced brainwashing techniques using psychological drugs, sensory deprivation, and electroshock therapy. A new class action lawsuit was filed by families and survivors of the MKUltra experiments in Canada this week. Since the controversial mind control experiments were also conducted there as well as in the U.S., the experiments were overseen by Dr. Donald Ewan Cameron, the first chairman of the World Psychiatric Association and the president of both American and Canadian psychiatric associations. The plaintiffs in the lawsuit were all involved in the experiments at the Allen Memorial Institute of McGill University. But similar experiments took place in dozens of other locations across the U.S. and Canada. In most cases, test subjects were knowingly and unknowingly entered into these dangerous studies after they reported common psychological problems like depression, anxiety, or addiction. Marlene Levinson, the niece of the deceased MKUltra survivor named Phyllis Goldberg, who was recently interviewed by CTV News about the pending lawsuit, said that her family's life was torn apart by the experiments and that her aunt was never the same again after leaving that hospital. Quote,
When she would be with us, on weekends and so on, she didn't communicate. She laughed for no reason. Her gait was different. She couldn't dress herself. She couldn't do anything for herself. When you went to pet her, just as a gesture, she would cringe. And this is what I mean whenever I use the hashtag Stranger Things. This is what I mean whenever I'm talking about things such as satanic ritual abuse of any kind. There's so many different ways to analyze this, but what I'm trying to do with this right before we take this break is point out how this is a real celebrity. These are people who are fighting against the system, who want retribution, who are going after the very system that seeks to enslave them and put them in these positions of disadvantagement to enslave them. They're fighting out. But ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We will be back on the other side. This is Factions of Freedom. We'll talk to you soon. Salutations, how are we doing? I hope it's very well. I hope it's better than most, and more than some. I hope that you aren't feeling blue. I hope things are well. Thank you for tuning in to another edition. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for being a part of history while we do what we do. So you guys want to hear something funny? And I think I just think it's funny because, you know, we haven't really talked about it in a while. But Hillary Clinton, you know, she, like a puppet, you know, they just kind of pull her little cord and, you know, she says something. I want to be president. You know, let's take a listen.
But one question I did want to ask you is, if you could be a CEO of any company right now, what would you choose and why?
Facebook. I just want to add, it's the biggest news platform in the world. I mean, we can listen to really brilliant, experienced writers like David Ignatius and, you know, try to keep up with the news. But most people in our country get their news, true or not, from Facebook. Now, Facebook is trying to, you know, take on some of the unexpected consequences of their business model. And I, for one, hope that they get it right because it really is critical to our democracy that people get accurate information on which to make decisions. And so, yeah, that's the one I'd pick.
Yeah, and I think that's a good decision. But Hillary, I don't really think you are necessarily needed these days. You know, they just kind of have her pop up and we're supposed to feel something simply because it's Hillary. But while we are talking about more celebrities, let's talk about Harvey Weinstein.
how he was recently charged with rape. That's right. This guy's got like over 70 different women who have come out and talked about his relationships or how he basically sexually abused them. And he's finally gotten caught after 70 different times. That's kind of wild, if you ask me. Wow, you know, I know that's the casting couch. I know that's Hollywood, but good Lord, 70 different women. And we played the tapes for you, or we played the recordings here for you guys, where he's basically like in a hallway, and he's got his date with her, and he's saying, you know, basically, come back to the, come back with me, come back, come inside, just come inside. He sounds like a total creep. He's just come inside. You know, all my kids, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to beat you. I'm not going to harass you. You know, please. Do you think I would do that? Would I really do that? Like he's being a creep on the show, right there in the hallway. And, you know, you can hear fighting and basically going against it. But the point is this is, again, more of that celebrity controversy, more of those celebrities who think they're above the law. I think that might have been that Harvey Weinstein clip. But that's, again, more of that celebrity controversy where they think they're above the law, where they're above reproach, and that they can get away with these types of things. No one's above that. You know, I bet he thought he was really cozy bumping elbows with people like Oprah, bumping elbows with people like Trump, bumping elbows with all the people within that higher upper echelon. And then they all turned on him. There he is getting out of the car. He's got some books, trying to look civil. Trying to look like a decent person when you know he's a dirtbag. We also made that clip go viral where he got smacked too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're trying to make him, he's doing the perp walk. They're trying to make him look civil, but he's not. He's definitely not. And while they're making this guy go to jail, showing this guy justice, you know, locking him up, we also have, on the flip side, in the UK, we have trouble. We have Tommy Robinson of the UK literally being imprisoned for talking about a child grooming, for talking about pedophilia, reporting on a case. Like, I can understand them saying, hey, like, you can't sit up outside the courthouse and talk all kinds of smack, especially with a trial going on. But what I don't understand is them basically arresting him for free speech. That's basically what happened. It was like, last Sunday, he's going to serve 13 months in prison for live streaming a report on how there is a child grooming gang. Let's watch this.
Almost 10,000 people. This is the verdict. So the trial's ended. The jury are making their mind up, and this is the verdict.
And I mean controversy, celebrity controversy, because, you know, this is somebody that people look up to. This is somebody that's influential, and this is what happens whenever you go against the system.
So I can see someone. Yeah, mate, yeah. Yeah, you doing all right?
What's going on here? Peter Byers.
Yeah, 29 of them on trial. It's two women.
Yeah, for grooming, innit?
For grooming 11-year-olds.
Look, yeah.
Allegedly.
Grooming. Still doing ADL thing?
Nah. Left, yeah. Just doing this, just doing like a...
Done too much,
just doing a media, mate. Just trying to show people who are watching. This is what's happening. This is what the case is. This is how many girls were victims. This is what they've said, and this is what they've done. Yeah, mate.
Well, fucking hanging. That's all I can swear. It's all hanging.
No, I'm not.
Are
they in prison? I know. You've been in there.
Just got out.
You just got out. What was it like?
Shit.
This is quick 2 minutes with you.
Are you going to arrest me?
Michael, he's going to explain what's going to happen next, right?
Am I being arrested? I am being arrested.
Causing a breach of peace.
I've caused a breach of peace. I'm being arrested.
But the content of what you're streaming.
The content of what I'm streaming. I'm being arrested for breach of the peace. I've been arrested for breach of the peace. You've all watched this. Can you get me a solicitor? Can you get me a solicitor?
Can you just turn up your light feed?
Can you get me a solicitor?
Turn up your light feed, please.
Yeah?
Do you understand what I just said?
No, can you explain it again?
You're under arrest on suspicion of causing a breach of the peace.
What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? The content of what I'm streaming, I'm being arrested for breach of the peace.
Are you arresting him?
Been arrested for breach of peace. You've all watched this. Can you get me a solicitor? Can you get me a solicitor?
Can you get me a solicitor? Turn off your light feed, please.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I've just said?
No. Can you explain it again?
Arrested on suspicion causing a breach of the peace.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I've told the police to do an
Yeah, and they're just hauling them off right now.
That's the information I've got.
I'm inciting people. How have I incited people? This is free speech. This is where we're at. You're not even allowed to. Look at this.
Look how many people. Come
on, what are you trying to hide? Do you know when you do this? More people. This is ridiculous. Lads, do you feel right what you're doing it? I haven't said a word. In fact, someone laid their hand and assaulted me outside court. Yeah, other people swore at me and threatened me about my mother, and here I am being arrested for saying nothing.
I'm threatened to behead.
I've done nothing.
Not said anything about
what are they arresting you for, Tommy?
Breach of the peace. Apparently, I'm inciting on my video. Can you please, George, get me a solicitor?
Yeah, because I'm
on a suspended sentence, you see.
He has actually done nothing wrong.
That's what's crazy. A breach of peace. He's literally stopped from streaming and told, you need to stop that, basically. It's the content that you're streaming that's a problem. They don't want him talking, or they don't want them talking about any of the grooming that's going on, the pedophilia that's going on, that's running rampant. Now, this is what blows my mind. They can literally have all this other. They could have this show, Big Mouth, on Netflix, where it's basically got kids having erections and all kinds of other strange stuff, all kinds of weird sexy stuff or sexual stuff. It's not supposed to be happening. But you can't have somebody like Tommy Robinson literally over here reporting on how 29 men versus 2 girls grooming them. You can't have people literally talking about how Harvey Weinstein's over here raping 70 women. What is going on? But is it even that they're talking about, that they're trying to make an issue, or is it just the fact that you could lead others away? There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but what I think is astonishing, by all right, is the fact that they literally hauled him off. They just hauled him off, took him away, simply because of. And breach of peace, just live streaming. It's crazy. But in this time frame, while that's kind of been going on, I've been looking for these infamous tweets by Roseanne Barr. People are tripping out. The whole internet's freaking out about Roseanne and what she said, talking smack about George Soros, comparing somebody to a monkey, etc., etc. But I've been unable to find them. I've been trying to look for them, but not so much luck. And she's got a whole lot of retweets and everything else going on. But basically, for people that are curious what I'm talking about, the lowdown, Roseanne Barr, you know, she's got one of the highest rated TV shows right there out there. People love her. I never watched it, but I do love John Goodman. More of that celebrity worship. You know, we need to stop all that nonsense. But basically, what I'm trying to talk about is how she said something on social media, and now the whole world's in a frenzy. Everybody's caught up. Oh, no, you know, a celebrity said something, and now we have to react. And that's basically what this is. She compared somebody to a monkey, and now everyone is on her Twitter feed attacking her. You know, she's having to sit there and fight back and explain all kinds of other stuff and make amends. But basically, one of the tweets that I wanted to get into is how she talked about George Soros being a Nazi collaborator. Let's see if I can try to get some of these relevant tweets. God, there's just so many. This is why I don't do Twitter, because you can never find anything. But basically, you know, she talked about how Chelsea Clinton, George Soros, somebody being a monkey. She says, sorry to have tweeted incorrect info about you. Please forgive me. By the way, George Soros is a Nazi who turned his fellow Jews in to be murdered in German concentration camps and stole their wealth. Where were you aware of that? But we all make mistakes, right, Chelsea? I guess this was in a response to something that Chelsea Clinton has said, but she said, correction, Chelsea Clinton is not married to a Soros nephew. Her husband is the son of a corrupt senator. So sorry. So basically, you know, it's just political stuff, more nonsense going on over there on Twitter, more tweet twaddling, where people are just, you know, getting angry because something happened. But for clarification's sake, I wanted to play for you guys a clip where we do have George Soros talking about how, indeed, he was a Nazi collaborator. Now, I'm not going to play for you the full six-minute-long clip. It's very long, but I will play for you basically his short admission of basically being involved with the Nazis.
Standing is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes, yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom it.
My understanding.
Yeah, he could be the one on the other side.
Protector.
And he wasn't. And he made the conscious decision not to be. He said that at a child. You know, and I understand that. At a child, you make a conscious decision that you don't want to be, you know, that you don't want to die, that you want to live. And so he basically, you know, admitted to being a Nazi collaborator, to taking part in these types of things, confiscating property and detaining Jews. Now, why is this important? Why are we talking about George Soros right after we're talking about Roseanne? Because this man right here, where we've talked about Indivisible, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all the other pop-up kind of, even David Hogg's pop-up overnight AstroTurf protests, these overnight protests, right? They get funded by this man right here. He sows this kind of racial tribalistic protests that basically incite political and sociological and cultural rage, and he lets it loose. Like this is that guy. This is George Soros. Okay, and this is why are we connecting him to the Nazis? Because we're talking again about how there are outside forces who are dictating what happens domestically. We're talking about how there's a rich person out there literally using his money to destabilize things. He recently talked about this week, it's also this week, how the EU is facing danger, facing a heading towards a major financial collapse. He didn't indicate what, but it's the fact that he has this kind of pull, this kind of influence, this kind of ability to affect not only markets, but also the political spectrum. This is what happens when you have somebody that basically represents what the Illuminati does stand for. Now, I'm not saying George Soros is the Illuminati because he's a public figure. They need to have somebody that's out there that's basically a figurehead for everybody else to get upset by. But I will say that he and other people do represent, like I said, the intentions and the goals of the Illuminati to come forward with the order from the chaos that they are creating. Now, I'm not going to use this episode to basically go into the reformation of naturalism, the immigration invasion, the breaking down of borders and everything else, but this man is instrumental in all of those agendas, and we need to point that type of stuff out, connecting him to the Nazis and other elites and globalists and people in these different types of power, just so we know who our enemy is. You see. Speaking of enemies, and this is something else that needed to go on record that we're looking at, because it's confirmation of, again, this organized cabal of people who are out there doing wicked things, doing sketchy things, doing deals. And what I mean by this is that there are new FBI files that have that show how feds gave billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein freedom in exchange for information. Files were released by the FBI revealed that the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein was given a lenient plea deal after he provided info to the FBI as agreed upon. So the FBI was like, hey, you give us information, we'll let you go. More of that shady dealing stuff. You think he had any information on Harvey? You go, if you go look at some of the information on the Lolita Express, you got names like, I think Chris Rock is there, Bill Clinton is there. There's so many people that are involved with the Lolita Express, and that's basically a Lolita Express pedophile island is basically where they took females, children, boys, men to this island, and they basically had sex with them there. Sounds crazy, but it's very real. And what this is basically the destruction, not really the destruction, but basically what this is, it's confirmation of how there is an organized, as I said before, an organized cabal of people working together to protect one another, involved in things like child prostitution, child sexual abuse, you name it. You know, this is something that we've kind of kept an eye on for a while now because of how deep it is. You see, back in 2016, we put up a post about how FBI, CIA, NYPD officials are dropping the hammer. Video evidence of Bill Clinton and six government officials taking part in sexual acts with minors. With minors. That's crazy. And this is what I'm talking about. This type of stuff's out there. You can read this document. It says on 9/11 of 2008, case agent advised the writer that Epstein is currently being prosecuted by the state of Florida and is complying with all conditions of his plea with the state of Florida. Epstein also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. Case agent advised that no federal prosecution will occur in this matter as long as Epstein continues to uphold his agreement with the state of Florida. Yep, so you give us that information, you snitch, you get to live. Of course, that's how it works. I got information, you got information, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's how it happens. That's how it works. And speaking of scratching back, or scratching backs, this is something that I wanted to point out. But the TSA is coming up with a watch list for anybody that expresses outrage about what they're doing. Now, why is this important? Because, and I wanted to springboard it this way, you can have people like Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Clinton, Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, and all these other people get away with this type of stuff for so long. But now, because we express outrage about literally being halfway molested at the airport, we get put on a checklist. The Transportation Security Administration is forming a new watch list specifically for people who give its agents a hard time during security screenings. And the deemed, quote, unruly passengers who act in ways that the TSA find offensive. Sounds similar. Sounds like China's technocratic social credit system, where they literally keep a track on you if you're not about it, if you don't like what they do. If you're not about being, like I said, literally halfway groped and molested at the check-in. Just the other year, or maybe last year, 2 years ago, I remember playing a clip about a child, an autistic child, literally, you know, being subjected to the TSA screening process, you know, and the mother was outraged. But the idea behind all of this type of stuff, behind the TSA, behind the pedophilia, behind the desensitization and the hypersexualization of everything else, is to literally have us acting only here in the flesh, to where we're so preoccupied with what happens corporeally, we don't have time to think of the higher spiritual needs, to where we don't have time to really understand the deeper spiritual truths. No, these types of things, they're meant and designed to trigger us, to get some kind of response. But that's what they figure, you know, and I've talked about this before as well, how there was a study conducted in Los Alamos, New Mexico, at Los Alamos National Labs, how airport scanners, how they actually give off radiation. So again, we have more of this talk of microwave affecting your DNA and microwave affecting you and all this type of stuff going on. It's very real what we're faced up against. And that's why we have to point these types of things out. It may not seem like it makes sense right then and there, but as we move forward into this crazy future that these people are trying to design for us, it becomes clear as day. You see. And we're going to be right here until we're not, to try to bring you the information that you deserve in the ways that you deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you for tuning into this edition. It has been a pleasure being here with you. Now, all of the stuff that we have to deal with, that's not necessarily pleasurable. It is a little bit of a hassle. But as I said before, we have to identify our enemy. As I said with George Soros, we have to identify our enemy and their tactics in order to be effective. That's why, regardless of the hurdle that they try to throw at us, we'll be here ready. They're going to have to do a lot more to try to knock us down. But like I said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition. And with that being said, I will talk to you soon. Remember, expose lies and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.